Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 248. We'll call this one Patrick Henry Half Marathon 2017. And it's Labor Day weekend, 2017. Like, thank you for coming along. I'm very grateful that you came back. If you're a returning listener, appreciate that very much. My email is ashlanddave@gmail.com. If you want to contact me, and feel free to send me an email and let me know where you hail from and what kind of running you do, because I like to get emails from listeners. And every now and then, a nice dialogue of sorts starts, and I've made plenty of friends through the podcast. Matter of fact, saw Dr. Smitty up at the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and we'll get into all that here in just a few minutes. If you listen to the last show, number 247, I did get some interesting emails from some regular listeners, which I'll get to towards the end of this podcast when I kind of switch gears. I want to talk a little bit about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, but I do want to talk a little bit as well about the violence in America, which was what the last podcast was about. I mentioned in that last show how I did not expect there to be demonstrators at the start of the Patrick Henry Half Marathon because it was called the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, being that Patrick Henry was a slave owner, and there seems to be a movement, albeit small, in this country to get rid of all historical figures, any kind of monuments, statues, or memorials, or whatever, to people that were slave owners. To get rid of that part of history, even though it's it's a stain on our history, but nevertheless, it is part of the history of America. There were no demonstrators there. I did not expect any to be there. I was being kind of facetious in the last show, but it was a great race. 857 runners. That was my 10th. I think it was the 11th Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and I've run 10 of them. I missed 1 year due to being on call for work, but I did work a water stop. So I guess you could say I've been involved with it every year. And it was pretty much the same as last year, except for my finishing time was a little bit better. Had a great time. It was low 60s at the start. The race was held on August 26th, right here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. The best thing about this race that I like is that I can walk to the start. I can walk to the I can walk home from the finish. And it starts and finishes right along the railroad tracks on the campus of Randolph-Macon College. And it's just a really cool venue near the train station. Matter of fact, right when the race was starting, an Amtrak train came through. It was pretty exciting for, you know, people that come here, for us that live here. The trains that come through are pretty cool, but it's a little bit more exciting for us when there's lots of people out there. It's still pretty cool to have trains come through, don't get me wrong, but you get kind of used to it. But to have the race start right around the time that a train was coming through just feet from the field of runners is really cool, and enjoyed that a whole lot. Got there, actually the night before, met up with Dr. Smitty. He also had a friend come up, and we went out for some beers and a little bit of pizza the night before, just kind of got reacquainted. It was always a lot of fun. He comes up for the race. He's out of the Chesapeake area, regular listener to the show, and has become a good friend. We've done many races together. And then the morning of the race, we met up with, of course, my running group, Ashland Bob, Ashland Tom, Ashland Brian, and then we had an add-on for our little group picture that we took, Michelle from a former Team Incognito group that I used to run with, stretching back to 2006 when our group formed after a half marathon training group that was kind of a formalized thing. We formed an informal group. Kind of a grassroots thing, and ran the Richmond Marathon the fall of 2006, and then we kind of called our group Team Incognito. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again because there might be some newer listeners that don't know when I mentioned the group Team Incognito. The reason we came up with the name Team Incognito is because the person that was putting together the running group, his name is Todd Callis, Stephen Todd Callis, and a strange piece of irony, he's actually in prison now for some sex crimes. It's really bizarre. It just came to mind. Anyway, Todd Callis is the one that put together this half marathon training group. Never knew that he had this second life going on. Never sensed anything like that. He was actually pretty, very organized, did a great job with things. But then he kind of went to the dark side here last couple of years, but I haven't had contact with him for a long time. But we didn't want to piss him off or anything by kind of forming a secondary group. And so we kind of, one of the guys that knew him, who we call Crash Crider, I think, and Todd, I'm not, Crash, I'm not sure if you still listen to the show or not, but if this is not the way things kind of played out, you'll have to email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com and correct me. But we didn't really want to piss off the team coordinator by forming our own separate group that was kind of closed. Like, in other words, we weren't announcing it to everybody. We wanted to stay kind of incognito. And so the team kind of became Team Incognito and then TI for short. And that was a group of people that I have really become good friends with over the years. And as time has gone on, I mean, this is going back to 2006, some people have kind of gone in different directions, but we do stay in touch virtually through a group message board page. And we're trying to get together, kind of a reunion. Me and Michelle, we're talking at the texting back and forth, whatnot, about trying to get together kind of a reunion happy hour. So hopefully we will be able to do that. Just a real nice group of people and people that have really been very supportive to me over the years. So it was good to see Michelle. The morning of the race, she was with a friend named Cindy, who we met, and they ended up, I'll report on some finishing times here in a little bit when I start talking about who won for male and female, and then some other noteworthy times. I'll mention her time. It was a really great morning. For the first time ever, I think, the race temperatures were in the 60s. The humidity was still, because I think after, you know, after the first mile, I was sweating pretty hard. But the temperatures were not high. They were in the 60s at the start. Humidity was manageable. Really perfect weather for running a half marathon. It was very enjoyable. We kind of started near the back of the pack. We didn't really have any kind of written agreement or anything, but our group was pretty much had kind of verbally, not that we would write out a written contract or anything, but just kind of agreed to stay together. It was just kind of a social thing. We run socially on Saturday morning, so it was really... The only thing that was different about it was that we all had bibs on, and I still have my shirt from the first year, from 2006. It's a horrible shirt, but I read some kind of race t-shirt rule along the way somewhere that says that whenever you do a race, you always got to wear your shirt from the first year you did it. And I saw many people do that with this race. You see various years of the shirts out there, including the current year shirts, which is kind of like bad karma in my opinion, but people do it anyway, as well as put bibs on the back of their shirt, which I never quite understood, unless you just don't want to be in the pictures, and that's very possible because it has the chip on the bib. But my shirt's from 2006, and I wear it once a year. I wear it to this race, so it's in pretty decent shape. There's no reason to wear it otherwise because it's just a horrible shirt. And the reason I've worn it anyway, even though it's a horrible shirt for breathing and whatnot, over the years, this race has been so hot and humid in Central Virginia. It's just almost, it's oppressive humidity. It doesn't really matter what you wear, so I wear the shirt. Now, last year, I saw two people with the shirt. This year, I didn't see anybody. Not that I saw 857 runners, but I do believe I was the only one with the first year shirt on. I did see some, I think, maybe third or fourth year shirts. These shirts don't have the year on them. But nevertheless, I did take a little bit of pride in the fact that there were a few people that noticed that that was a first year shirt. And maybe nobody wears it because it sucks. It's a terrible shirt. It's the kind of fabric that doesn't really breathe. It's kind of like a wool blanket. And the sleeves are too long for, they're not in proportion to the shirt. So you actually have to roll the sleeves up just a little bit because it's kind of tight in the, I mean, I will admit I've been getting in the gym and I think I'm kind of building my arms up a little bit, but it's kind of tight anyway. And it was actually iffy this year whether I was going to wear it or not. I had to try it on the night before just to see if it was going to look kind of ridiculous because I think my gut's gotten a little bit bigger over the course of last year. But it did pass my conscience test. I did a view in the mirror and I said, yeah, I think you can get away with that, Ashland Dave. So I wore that and if I can figure out... had to lose some weight in my gut, I would probably be able to wear it next year. So we started near the back of the pack, really no goal for finishing time. The main thing was just to go out and have a good time and talk and get through the mileage and see friends, and that's really what happened. It was a great day all around. It got a little hard, I think, between maybe miles 10 to 11 to 11 and a half coming up. There's about a half mile to almost three-quarter mile hill. Well, maybe not three quarters. It's about a half a mile hill towards the end after it's between miles 11 and 12. And that is a little tough to get up that last hill there. But let me back up just a little bit. The race director for this race, I believe it's Michael George. He's kind of an icon in the Richmond area for measuring courses, starting races. He's somewhat of an ultra runner, so he doesn't do the, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, he doesn't do the Richmond races. He volunteers for Richmond Road Runners, the running club, and pretty much is a starter. If Bill Webb's not out there, who's another guy that's a regular, it's Michael George or Bill Webb that start most of the races in the Richmond area, and Michael George has always started this one. So he doesn't run it. But he played, it's kind of his trademark to play that before some of these larger races to play the national anthem. And it's a version that the Grateful Dead does. And he plays that through a recording. And generally, you know, with the large races, this one had over 850 people. Some people never really know that the national anthem is playing. Other people figured out about halfway through because they see everybody kind of quieting down. And then there are some people that never figured out at all that that's why everybody's kind of quieted down. They just continue to talk or have their earbuds in, and they're just kind of oblivious to the whole thing. So this, when I was going through making some notes for the podcast, I started thinking about this. And if you've listened to the show before, if you're a regular listener, or even listened for the last couple of years, if you haven't listened from the start, you know that I used to be a race director for the Ashland Railroad Run, which was not as big as the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, but a couple of years there, we had over 500 participants, so it was a pretty good sized race. And we would do the national anthem before the 10K. We weren't able to do it before the 5K or the kids run, but the main event was the 10K, and we would have somebody come sing that with a microphone, and we would do that at the start, not back at the kind of the race headquarters, which is where it happened this past year. Nobody really knew what was going on because it's just not loud enough, and you can only play it so loud because you got houses around there, and it's early in the morning. This race started at 7 a.m. But one thing that kind of just it disappointed me is that we, and I'm going to kind of get into the whole flag and standing for the flag, respecting the flag, and all that thing, because I've said before that the American flag is really the only symbol that really unites all of us as Americans. That's the only thing we all have in common. As Americans, is that that's the symbol that stands for us. I just can't think of anything else that should be the one symbol that unites all of us as Americans. And the unfortunate thing is that you have people that protest this in the NFL. They sit down, they hold their fist up, they kneel, they sit, they turn their back, you know, whatever people want to do, which is, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's a free country. It's just that you have to be, if you're employed at the time and your employer doesn't like that, you might have to suffer some consequences. But so what that brings me to is the fact that it doesn't seem like people who are getting ready to run a race even know that the national anthem is being played. And so there's got to be a way to figure that out. And the reason I brought up being a race director is because when we would have the national anthem, that would be right after I did all the race announcements. So people, I had people's attention. And I was dealing with maybe of the 500 participants, you know, plus or minus, I would, you know, over half of those were doing the 10K. So you could pretty much have the attention of most of those people. But it's very hard to have the attention of over 850 people when they're lined up in a narrow street going back. So what I thought about was why when they send out the emails or they have the website with all the race information and especially with these events where they have packet pickup and then start times and cutoffs and all that, there's usually a link to the schedule for the race. You know, when you can pick up your race number, when you can register. There's generally a schedule for the dates, when the rates go up, when you can come get your bib, when that's cut off, can you register race day and registration and all that. And so my idea is, why don't they just say, you know, race starts at 7 and at 6:57 is the national anthem, and put that in the race schedule so people, at least some people, see it and know that it's gonna happen. As a matter of fact, I don't know. It just seems, if you're gonna go to the trouble but if you're gonna have the national anthem played before your large race, do something. And I'm not being critical of the Patrick Henry Half Marathon organizers. I didn't do this as a race director either. I just kind of assumed people would notice it and would respect it and pay attention, but it doesn't happen, especially those of us in the back of the pack who couldn't really hear that it had started because everything was so loud and we knew we were getting close to the start of the race. So maybe it's just an idea that is something that I thought about when I was putting together some thoughts for this show. And if anybody has any information on that or comments, ashlanddave@gmail.com is definitely the way to get a hold of me and get inside that inner circle there. And let me know what you think about that, or does it even matter? I feel that if we get away from playing the national anthem before events, it becomes easy to stop doing it for other events, and eventually it goes away, and you know, evolution, and at some point in time it's not even going to be happening, and that would just be a shame, because again, that's, to me, that's the only, not the song that unites us, I'm talking about that symbol, but that's the time the song, when the song plays, that's when you have everybody's supposed to look at the highest flag. Okay, let's look at some of the applicable times for the people that I was with that day and people that I knew. I got to talk about Dr. Smitty's finishing time, because he did not race. He didn't race it. He had a friend that was here, and he kind of he was kind of fooling around a little bit on the course. He was the person he was with, and I'm not going to name that person at the moment because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But Greg was doing a little hide and seek kind of thing, and so he ended up coming in at 2:26:12, which is not his half marathon time. He can easily break 2 hours on a regular basis, but he likes Ashland. He comes up. It's always nice to have him up here and visit with him. And we went out Saturday night as well after the race, and met up with a couple guys that we weren't running with, and went over to the Center of the Universe Brewing Company has a place in town called Origin, and they have a little patio out front right there on the tracks, which is really cool. So we hung out there. I want to mention, okay, let me go back to the male winner, Richard Morris, 1:17:28, just incredible. Female winner was Sarah Lasker, 1:25:36, and compare that with my finishing time at 2:20:25. I'm pretty pleased with that for the most part, because I don't race the half marathon distance anymore. It's a recreational fun run for me. As I've said before, with this past 50K that I did on July 1st in Farmville, the Highbridge Night Train 50K, I've now run more ultras than regular length marathons. So it's obviously an interest of mine, and that's something I'm going to continue into 2018. So I'm going to announce here in a few minutes the race that I've decided to do and train for. So yeah, I ran 2:20:25, and that's what I do with my group. Good friend Keith Cartwright, who has his own podcast, the 2:10:47. I've talked about his podcast before. It's a religious-themed podcast, but it's outstanding, and he's always got a very inspirational message for anyone that listens to that. 2:45:04, and the reason his finishing time is significant is because it almost didn't happen. Last year, Keith ran the Patrick Henry Half Marathon for the first time, and he was pulled off the course because he didn't make the time, the cutoff time. This year, he was all set, had trained for it. I have every other week men's breakfast with Keith, with several other my male friends. We meet every other Wednesday for breakfast and before work, and talk about various things. And Keith's in that group, and it's really cool. So I know about his running journey. And but anyway, so this was supposed to be a real big year, big race for him. But what happened was is he got sick a few days before the race, and you know, the kind of sick that's both ends, and it was just really bad. I think he said he lost like 6 pounds overnight or something, and water weight. You can only imagine what that would be like. So I didn't expect him to be out there. When we were after the race started, we turned the first corner, and I saw his wife and two boys, and I waved over at her. Her name's Katie, and I said, "Where's Keith?" And she said, "Oh, he's up there," meaning he's up ahead. I was thinking maybe he was up at one of the turns. Cheering for runners or encouraging them, because that would have been the corner that's closest to where they live in the town that he could have just walked over there. And I thought it was a little strange. Well, why is he not with his wife and kids? And then eventually, within about a half mile to three quarters of a mile, caught up to him, of course, recognized him right away, and he was running. So that's what she meant by he was up ahead. And it just didn't dawn on me at first what she meant, because I thought for sure he wasn't going to be out there based on what he had been posting, how bad he was feeling. So I admire the fact that he got out there. So we did a little fist bump and saw him, I think, again later. We did a little back and forth. Like I said, we started in the back of the pack, almost all the way at the very end, because it was a chip time race and it didn't really matter that much to us. what our finishing time was. So Keith, my hat's off to you for getting out there and finishing that. I know you feel real good about it. I'll have to listen to your podcast to get the recap because you do. I know you do a lot of an analysis of your performance and what goes through your mind when you're out there because you're very inspirational. And I'm not just saying that, man. I really do like listening to you. And we missed you at the last week's breakfast. So hopefully week before last. So hopefully you make it this week. So it was good seeing you out there. Congratulations on your first Patrick Henry half marathon finish. You got they had cool medals this year. They're different than in years past, and they finally changed the logo of the race. It had been the same for several years. As a matter of fact, I think some of the medals almost looked identical to the year before, with the exception of the color of the ribbon that goes around your neck. So my finishing time was 2:20:25, and so let's analyze that a little bit because. Tom and Brian's finishing time was ahead of mine, and we all ran together. Me, Bob, Tom, and Brian. We got split up a little bit in the waning last few miles, but then we regrouped at the end and came in because you know we were just doing it as friends, and it's we weren't doing it as racers. We're just doing it to have a good time, and really the big thing was to go out for breakfast afterwards and get a flight of beers over at the caboose, which is what we did. It's always fun to get a flight of beers. Before, you know, around 10 in the morning, that really sets a weird tone for your day. You'd always want to go home and take a nap. But let's rewind a little bit back to the Night Train 50K when I did all that complaining in the podcast about that guy that crushed it at the end, came, you know, right near the finish line, came flying in to beat me at the finish after running for 7 hours in the worst humidity I think I've ever experienced. And then to turn around and say, hey, man, good race. I've since changed my perspective several episodes back. I have changed my perspective after listening to some other people that kind of put it in perspective for me. And I started a dialogue and whatnot and just have a little different perspective on it. But Brian and Tom obviously were going to play a joke on me. And apparently this was something that they concocted at the start of the race, unbeknownst to me. So we were probably 20 yards from the finish line. And would you believe all of a sudden Tom and Brian took off for the finish and left me and Ash and Bob behind them, maybe not that far from the finish. And I knew exactly what they were doing as soon as at first I thought, man, what are they doing? Are we sprinting? And then they just turned around and started laughing at me right in my face. And I knew exactly what they had done. And it was because of what I said in that podcast and what had happened to me. And I thought that was pretty funny. And I know when I'm being made fun of, I can take it. And I laughed along with everybody else. And so I got pumped at the end. And to add insult to injury, the race organizer, the timing company that did the race, sends you a video of your finish. So we had a record of that, and there was a little bit of a discrepancy there when Bob was trying to tell everybody that he's the one that stayed with me. He didn't do that, and then we saw the video, and sure enough, he was right. So it was a really good finish. Felt good at the end. I was glad it was over because it was getting kind of hard and humid at the end of the race. You know, you can imagine as the sun was kind of coming up a little bit by this time, it was getting on to like 9:15, 9:20. So the humidity it did get a little humid that day. But the temperature stayed low, and if you know anything about Virginia, sometimes it doesn't really matter what the temperature is. It's where the humidity is, and if the humidity is high, you're going to sweat a lot. There was some breezes here and there, but for the most part, just ideal conditions for running that distance, and just had a great time all around. I'm glad for another finish, and glad for another finishing medal for the garage, another shirt. Let me just tell you about the shirts. They're the lightest yellowish fluorescent green I think I've ever seen. Almost, it's almost like it's like light bulbs underneath. It's so bright, and it's gonna be great for reflecting or for visibility, running in that. And the material is really thin, but I just think it's a little bit long. I wish that some of these race shirts, I get an extra large, and sometimes the front and back of the shirt, the length of the shirt, is just too long to wear outside running shorts because it then goes around my butt and starts pulling the shorts up a little bit and just becomes uncomfortable. And those are the shirts that I don't wear. This one is like right about at that length. So we'll see how it goes. I will try to wear it because I like it. It's really, really thin, and we'll see if it holds any moisture or not as time goes on and if I do any more runs in the heat. I got punked at the end and was pretty funny. All right, let's talk about spring plans. For ultra running an ultra. I'll get to that in just a second. Let me just talk about going to do the Richmond Half Marathon first. That's November 11th. I'll be doing that with Ash and Brian. And we're going to start training for that after this weekend. We decided just to take a week off. That will be also training with Ashland Tom because he's going to be doing the 415 pace group again. He's been doing that for several years. And I had actually, let me see if I can get this thought organized. I had been asked by Tom if I was interested in pacing a half group because the race organizer was looking for people to pace a 2.5 hour half marathon group. And I thought, I can easily handle that. That'll be, in fact, it was a little slower than I'd like to go, but I could easily handle that if they need help. I'd already signed up for the race, so it wasn't like I was looking for a freebie or anything. So he gave me the lady's email. I emailed her and never heard anything back, and so I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, I offered my help, and if they don't want it, then maybe it's just a little early to get back to me. But I told her I'd already registered, and I would just do it, you know, just to help out. But I never heard anything, and it's very possible my name's on kind of like a shit list. Because I used to do the marathon tour and, you know, do commentary for the marathon tour. Did that a few times and then put in to do it again and then never heard anything at all. And then, of course, this. So it's very possible that the organizer of that, which is the Richmond Roadrunners Running Club, maybe I'm still on some kind of shit list because of back when I directed the Ashland Railroad Run, we kind of quote fired Richmond Roadrunners from doing our timing. And the reason for that is because one of the guys, this is going way back. there was a guy that got so upset over some of the finishing times that was volunteering with Richmond Roadrunners. He made Tammy at the time, who was a race director, made her cry. He got so upset at her. And I, at that point, I said, well, we're not going to use people that come out here and yell at us. So maybe that's why I'm on some kind of shit list. I'm really not that worried about it because I'm not in that club anymore. And I don't, I don't live down in Richmond, so I'm not really that concerned. But you know, I was offering to do it and I don't bring an attitude into it. So, you know, sometimes you just got to put your hands up and say, you know, whatever. All right. So let's talk about the Bel Monte, endurance runs. This is in the, Blue Ridge Mountains. And this is something, man, I've looked at this race every spring for the last couple of years. It's March 10th of 2018. And this is the one I'm going to do, pretty sure, like 90%. I need to sign up. It's $90. I'm going to do the 50K, and here's why. I think it's a 12-hour cutoff for the 50-miler, and I don't know if I can do 50 miles in the mountains in 12 hours. When I ran the 50-miler in Mississippi, that was my best time ever with 50 miles. That was 10 hours, 46 minutes. And, of course, that was in Mississippi. It wasn't in the mountains. It was hilly, though. But this is in the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains off the Blue Ridge Parkway. And there's a 9-hour cutoff for the 50K. Now, it's more than 50K. It's 34 miles plus some and some change, not quite 35 miles, according to the website. So I think that's a good distance for me to do. I'm not going to worry about, you know, doing something shorter than what the race is offering. I think 34 miles in the Blue Ridge Mountains is going to be pretty decent challenge for me. And from what Sandy Steiner, regular listener of the show, has done this before, she says the views are spectacular. And so this is the one. This is the one I want to do. March 10th, 2018. It's out of Lyndhurst, Virginia, up in the mountains. It's, I'm going to say it might be Nelson County. I'll have to look up, see actually what county it's in. But I just love the Blue Ridge Mountains, so I'm going to do a race there. My wife and I and my daughter, we've done a lot of hiking trails up in that way, and I've never run the trail. So really, it's just a long hike with a lot of running in between the hiking, and I'm going to take it seriously, and I'm going to train through the winter and the early spring, and I'm going to get out to, we have a park here in the county that has got lots and lots of ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, and I think if I just go out there and I'm serious about running the terrain, and then maybe do a couple field trips here and there, I think I'm going to be just fine. And I think what we'll do is we may just go ahead and rent a cabin and go up there for the weekend, just like they kind of tell you on the website that's a good thing to do. So we might do that in addition to the race, do the whole cabin thing. So I'm excited about that. That is something, once I pull the trigger and register, that is going to be the date that sticks in my mind, 3/10/18. And I'm already excited about the prospect of having a goal, especially in another ultra goal, a significant distance. And I want to do a race with cool views. I really do. I did the one in Farmville. The night train was, as one listener wrote me in an email, the views were beautiful until the sun went down. Then it was just a headlamp run. This race starts at, I think, 6 a.m., so it might be a headlamp run at the beginning, but then, you know, once the sun comes up, it'll be cold up in the mountains, but it sure beats, 90 degrees and then, 90% humidity, whatnot. So that's the goal. We'll get to talking more about that as time goes on in future shows. So let's check out the email bag section of the show. I got a couple emails from some regular listeners whose comments I always respect. And they commented on the last podcast. And so I'll talk a little bit about some of the fallout from the Charlottesville situation, which clearly has a lot of that's gone by the wayside. And if you listen to the last show, you remember I said something like, all we need is a good disaster and all this will go away. And when I say we need a good disaster, it means if the disaster happens, a lot of the focus will be away from some of this divisiveness. And then look what happened. Hurricane Harvey just killed Texas, and which is a real shame. I really feel for all the folks down there. And I got to tell you, this football player, Watts, he is something else. He's raised over $15 million in aid. And my heart just goes out to everybody down there. So anyway, let's look at the emails and see you checked in this week. I heard from Thomas Mueller. We go back and forth on a regular basis and share a lot of different ideas and comments and feelings on things. And this was his comment. He said, Dave, that was a heartfelt, emotional presentation on your latest podcast. Many of us wonder how we can come back together after what has happened to break us apart. This is all in reference to the Charlottesville violence that took place a couple weeks ago right here in Central Virginia. Many of us wonder how we can come back together after what has happened to break us apart. Violence is never the answer. If we condone violence, people get hurt. That's surely not what we want for our citizens and students. It's easier to be a Christian now. To be one, you have to have a lot more skin in the game. It's now possible to be attacked for your personal Christian beliefs. He has a verse from First Book of Samuel, verse 16. First Book of Samuel, looks like chapter 16, verse 7 is, But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Unquote. The best way to care for our country today is to look into the heart of everyone, be caring, refrain from labeling and harsh responses. Not easy to do, but in my mind, it's the only way forward. And that's a really good biblical passage there, Thomas, and I appreciate you sharing that. It's very similar, just a little off the subject, but sometimes people wonder how can God let these disasters happen or take someone's life when they're so young and they were given so much to other people. Years is really just the way we measure things. It's not how, God measures things. Just like, we're not measured by our outward appearance by God. We're measured by what we have in our heart. And I think that's just an interesting perspective. And sometimes it's good to think about things like that when you're down or you feel like things aren't going your way. I told Thomas that I really appreciated his email. And then he says, Dave, I might take a big risk here on campus. He teaches at Appalachian State University. Start a group that calls out students who are conservative right, differentiate them from the so-called alt-right. Many of our students do not hate or are not prejudiced, but are on the right. They're being treated well right now. Also interesting, that verse about how God looks at the heart was about God choosing David over his bigger and stronger brothers to be the king of Israel. So David goes on, the extramarital sex also probably did more killing than Genghis Khan. So did God see that in the heart? It's all hard to defend. I just try to do the best things. One other question. If you hit someone in the head with a ball bat, is that a felony assault? Depends what happens with their injury is, Thomas. In Virginia, North Carolina is probably similar where you are. There's misdemeanor assault, and then there's malicious wounding. Felonious assault is only something that can be adjudicated by the court, and it's a little confusing how that works. Is if you hit somebody, and if it's a minor injury, it's a misdemeanor assault. If you hit somebody and maim them, or it's they're wounded to the point where they're going to be disfigured or maimed, It's called malicious wounding in Virginia, and that's an assault that's a felony charge, but it's not called felonious assault. Malicious wounding can be reduced to felonious assault only in court. So it's a little bit confusing. Everybody out there who is hitting people, we're breaking the law. And again, I'm not going to rehash the last podcast, but the police were just, it was a disgrace that they were told to stand down. Now there's these lawsuits in Charlottesville. There's going to be an investigation at the state level. It's just crazy. But you're right about David killing. I don't know, man. Different times. There was a long time in our history before people really seemed to have a conscience and life wasn't worth much. And, you know, people just abused kids and there was no laws to protect children. And boy, have things changed. It's always good to hear from you, Thomas. I mean, you always have an interesting dialogue. And I really do appreciate you sending in the email. Heard from Dirt Dog. He's got his own podcast over at Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe. And I've talked to him plenty. He's always been a listener of the show. I listen to his podcast as well. He says, Dave, as a public servant like you, I'm back in the midst of trying to start a new school year. And already I've had several moments where I've said to myself as to what has happened to students, etc., that you can't make this shit up. My yoga and meditation practice helped to keep me centered as to what is important as I serve in my role. He said, it was interesting that a recent administration workshop that we had a speaker from the Department of Education come down and wanted to let us know that since the start of 2017, they have seen a significant rise in the number of bullying and harassment cases. They can only speculate as to what this new school year shall bring. While we are a nation that is more connected than ever before through the internet, social media, etc., we are also more disconnected than ever before. In my own opinion and experience, I've seen us go from a nation of we to me. The ones who can make the loudest noise are because the media needs a flash in the pan to give them something to talk about for hours on end with nothing really at stake other than ratings will always get front and center. Like you said, what about the veterans, the poor, and the downtrodden? It's not news or sexy because that is something that most people would like to sweep under the rug. Until we as a collective nation care about each other and understand that we are only here for a brief moment of time and can accomplish more for the greater good that feeds our souls with humanity, then like you quoted Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we shall all perish as fools. Good stuff, sir. Mike, really appreciate that. I was afraid of what kind of comments I might get for putting that out in the last podcast, but that's how I felt at the time, and I kind of still do. My wife kind of questioned me a little bit about some of the material, but I told her, I said, look, you know, I'm not supportive of white supremacists or anything like that, but I disagree with removing what's been historically done, what people have put up as statues and monuments over the course of time, if that was what people wanted to do at the time, and that's what history is. Who are we to remove and to get rid of history, regardless of what it is? And one thing to keep in mind is that the voices that can silence those voices can silence your voice. And you might think what you're saying is right, but what if somebody thinks what you're saying is wrong? And then the government silences you. It's scary. It really is. Checked in with Richard Yarp. This was kind of a self-initiated email, but he's down in the Woodlands, Texas, which flooded. And he said, we are okay, as it turns out. He went to D.C. the week before to move his daughter back to college. She goes to George Washington. And they're supposed to fly back to Texas, but the flights were canceled through Wednesday of last week, just a few days ago. So he has an older daughter in San Antonio, and so they went there. They had a neighbor watching the house, told him that everything was okay. And the reason I reached out to Richard, I wasn't sure if he still listened to the podcast or not, because I hadn't heard from him in a while. But Richard's the one that loved the Hawaii Five-O theme song, so we're going to do a little ode to Richard right here. All right, thanks, Richard. He continued on. I've been meaning to drop you a note for a while. I'm still listening after all these years listening. I'd like to hear how you are. Says running has been minimal. Mentally, he's been struggling the last few years. He's the only one I knew down there, and I still had his email, so I just reached out to him, and it's really cool that he still listens to the show. And Richard, I hope that your home is okay. It's just, I'm sure you have a lot of friends down there that have lost a lot, and my heart goes out for them. I really do. Take care, man. And heard from Down Under Dave. He is taking off. I think I already went over to this. I think I already talked about this email. I'm not sure. He's taking 3 months off. with his wife. They go into Deal Island, which is part of the Kent Group, Tasmania, Australia. They're going to be the only ones on the island for that time, although some sailboats come by. He's looking forward to the solitude. The island's only about 3 miles long and wide, so he'll be doing a lot of repeat runs. And sounds like he and his wife are just getting away from it all, him and his wife, Dale. Down Under Dave is a fellow that I did an interview with a couple shows back, and I swear I'm going to meet this guy in person someday. He's quite a character. So it's good to hear from you, Dave. I hope you have a great trip, and when you get back, I hope you're really refreshed. Let me just share this last email before I move on. I got an email from Jens from runrepeat.com, and he wants to do an interview about running shoes. How he's got a website about never buying bad running shoes, and this kind of relates to Dave Down Under Dave's email. So I emailed him back and I said, "Hey, I checked out your site. I like the idea of no advertisements." And I asked him, "Have you listened to my podcast? Are you just reaching out wide to get a lot of exposure for your site?" I said, "I'm cool either way, and maybe we'll do the interview." And he said he discovered a podcast back in the winter when he was living in Sydney, and he remembered hearing a podcast about an Australian ultra runner, and then said about a week ago, my podcast came to his mind again. He thought, why not reach out? So he's actually in Copenhagen, and he gave me the times when we can do this interview. So I'm going to do a little research on his website, and then I'm probably going to end up doing an interview with him, because I have some questions about running shoes, and I've never really talked to anybody who's kind of an expert in it, and it sounds like he is. So, be looking out for that one. That'll be coming up at least the next two episodes. So probably within the next month, I will have an interview with Jens. I'm pretty sure is how it's pronounced if he's in Copenhagen. So I guess that's it for this episode. Thanks for coming along. Really appreciate you downloading the show. I'm Ashland Dave. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's my email. I'd love to hear from new listeners that listen to the show. However, it's a relatively small community. Just about 250 downloads for a show. And then as time goes on, that increases. So you're in a tight community a small group of people, not necessarily tight as in stay in contact with each other. But I love to hear from listeners, just to hear where you're from, where you listen, what kind of running you do, and what kind of successes you've had with running and how it relates to your life. I like hearing about stuff like that. So this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and you'll have a good week.